In the beginning was from house to house, since I could remember. And many people took me to their home for like a few months, half year, so on and so forth. And basically, it's just like some people want me on a, because you're written when I born with a heart problem. And I guess that's why like nobody wants me. So basically, yeah, basically from house to house, and many people want me, but they found out I had a heart problem. And at the time in a countryside area, they won't have that kind of money to fix it for me. So I went through many places, went through a lot of experience. To the end, it's like an older woman found me on the street, and she took care of me for about 5 years. Yeah, until all her kids and her grow up, and they married. She's old, couldn't care taking care of me. That was the time she dropped me off to the orphanage.
Were you attached to her? Did you like living with her?
Yeah, I was pretty attached with her
So you lived...
She actually took care of me for 5 years.
Yeah. So from the time you were 3, basically, to the time you were 8, she took care of you. What did she tell you? How did she explain taking you to the orphanage? What was that like? Did she take you herself that day?
Yes, she did. That was because the reason she explained to me was because she couldn't take care of me no more longer. She was 60-some years old. Yeah, she and her husband, they originally took care of me. Her child, her two sons are growing up, got married. They were all farmers. So that's what I end up to the orphanage.
Was her husband living at the time that she had to give you up, or had he died?
No, they were still living, but in the first 3 years, they were trying to find a better home for me. There were many other places people onto her home to ask for me. There are a lot of people to introduce them, introduce a lot of other people to say their house have a kid, low back heart problems, but sounds like the brain, like the kids able to learn stuff like that. Once they show up, it's like they see this kid constantly like walk 10 feet and they need to take a break. And there are people taking me to their house for 1 week, months, and then bring me back to them. So it was in the end, it was, in the end, they brought me. So she have no any other way to find me a better place. That's why she dropped me to the orphanage.
So, what do you remember about that day that she took you there? Did she take you with her husband, or did she take you on her own?
She brought me there on her own. We were looking, the first time we tried to find to the city of Luoyang. I'm trying to find the orphanage, but we couldn't find it. Till the second time, we finally found it. It was a hard day. Once she left, I was crying really bad, pounding on the doors. Finally, took me a long, hours to settle down. Yeah.
How were the people at Luoyang, at the orphanage? How did they treat you when you first arrived that day? How did they handle the fact that you were so upset?
It was nice. When I got into the orphanage, at least a month, almost every night I cried for the woman. The lady, I call her grandma. In China, we have this kind of tradition. It's younger guys, we call them uncle, aunt. Older ladies, we call them grandpa, grandma, as a respectfulness. Yeah, so I call her grandpa, grandma, call them grandpa, grandma. They took care of me 5 years. It was nice. They are some kind of religious, always bring me to the temple, stuff like that. They give me the Chinese name as Tianbo. Tian means sky god. Bao means protect. So, which means it's God protects me. That's where the name come from. Once I got to the orphanage, I cried a long time. To a point, after a month later, there's we call them, all the staff in the orphanage, aunties. One of the aunties told me, right now you want to stay here. Someday, hopefully, somebody will be able to fix your heart for you. And later, you need to go to school to learn. Maybe when you grow up, I'd be able to go back to see the woman. So that was the time I started calm down. After half a year, with some kind of organization in the orphanage gathered, in a city called Henan. So they brought 20 or 30 kids went there. That's the time that there were a lot of donations, money otherwise. And I came back. I think I've been there about 7 months before they gave me a heart surgery. Yeah, that was the time.
So you had been there about 6 months, if I'm understanding you, and you were met with a group that gave donations in Henan, and you were able to have your heart surgery. So you were probably about 8-9 years old at this point.
Yeah, so something like that. I never know my real age at all. Yeah.
I'm just taking in your story.
Okay.
So what you know about your past is that you were found somewhere. Mm-hmm. You were basically lived house to house while people in... Was this a rural village in Henan? Was this a small place in Henan? Or was it in Henan?
At the time, I was young. When I first remember people was like on like it was somebody taking care of me, but I don't know who they are. I just call them like a mom, dad. They were selling like pots, pans on a bridge. That's the moment I still remember stuff. And this, after a while, saying I was crying because my mom or somebody already ran away. Left. So for some reason, I was end up on a train for a while, and I got off train. And it's that's a lot of stories. I usually, and got off the train, it's hard to read. Yeah, it's a lot of stories. Basically, a lot of people took care of me, and from my parents selling pots, pans, till I got on a train. The second time I got off the train, it was I don't see nobody no more. I was myself, and some people saw me on the street. They took me to their house, and they tried and put me in a kindergarten area. But at the age, plus with the heart problem, they don't understand. They have no idea what to do with me. So they put me back on. So they put me back to the train station. And I got on the train with no problem by myself. Basically a young kid with a homeless, because either people lost me or they just want me to drop me off. I just don't know how come. Yeah, it's through many houses, through many peoples. There were good people taking care of me, and there were not so good. The more thing that I could remember is the second time after I got off a train was a guy. Like a 20 or 30 years old male with a doll, like a little baby, they start taking care of me. No, he, to the point, it's like, he took care of me, but he beat me every night. Yeah, but I didn't live with him for so long until. In that kind of society, with back then they kind of like, he put me into he took care of me for 2 or 3 months, and. He beating me almost every night.
So this is before you went to live with the woman, the grandma and her husband. So this is sometime before you were 5 years old.
Oh, yes.
And was this all in Henan or around Henan?
No, honestly, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But
what's up?
So really what you know is that, if I got this right, is that you were sort of passed around.
Yes.
And you were put on trains, and you wound up with this young couple, and this guy took care of you, but he beat you. And at some point, you came into the care of Grandma and Grandpa.
No, there are stories in between. It's like this wasn't a young couple, just a guy with a little baby.
Oh.
And I stayed in his house for 3 months. He passed me to another. This is old woman and old man. In the beginning, they were really nice, teaching me like writing Chinese characters. I'd be able to write in 100 characters every night, every morning. In the end, it wasn't so good. But they sold me. They sold me to it's called the North Mountain. That's what I remember in Chinese word. It was a North Mountain. And this guy's name was Lao Wong, or whatever his name is. But, and then I got into his house a little bit later, and then I passed on to another place. I just keep on passing me around. It's just either with money or without money.
So they...
And I got passing on to another house. To a point, nobody wants me. A guy, I lived with him for 4 months, or it was in the summertime. I lived with him for 4 months. And his parents. And finally, he passed me to another village, just dropped me off there. The next morning, I was just by myself.
Once you arrive at Luoyang, and you've been there for six months, and the auntie there, the IE, said...
No, the orphanage, that year, they had a huge donation, and they just suddenly brought all these kids have problems, and they went on surgeries.
So you had your heart corrected, just like the IE said, maybe somebody would help you. And did you start, what started to happen after that? Did you feel better? Did you start to adjust to life in the orphanage?
I arrived in the orphanage around September 2000. By 2001, by 2001, my heart surgery went on was June the 11th or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2001.
Okay.
After that, by September the next year, I'd be able to go to first grade in Chinese schools. And then, of course, in the orphanage, they have different sections for different childs.
Mm-hmm.
Once I enrolled in schools, they moved me to the section where all the students lives, basically. Yeah. So I'd be able to go to schools, start with my first grade.
How was that?
Until all the way to fifth grade, just suddenly. On the way came back from school, a friend told me, "Oh, you're gonna to be adopted." That was the time. Yeah.
So one day you came back from school and one of your friends in the orphanage says, oh, you're going to be adopted. Is that the first you... Did he mean literally, like, here, there's a family that's going to adopt you? Or did he mean things are going well for you? One day, I think you're going to be adopted.
He said that you're going to be adopted. It's like, yeah.
And did that happen pretty soon after he told you that?
Yeah, and pretty soon, all kind of like mail, like all kind of mails from this families, all the. That's pretty much every kids when they before they get adopted, their family will send their mails like candies, cookies, or pictures about their family, dogs, stuff like that. And I got the same thing from. The family what they adopted me with. Yes.
So what was that like to suddenly start getting this stuff from America, from these strangers saying, hey, we're going to be your family? I mean, was that weird or was that good or was it both?
No, that was exciting. That was exciting because almost every kids in that place is like, once people start sending you stuff, you feel like you're gonna to have a family. You feel like you are going to leave the orphanage. So that was exciting. But most kids, through the adoption agency, all the other stuff, took at least a half year to a year before the people be able to arrive to get them. To me, it was really quick, like 2 months.
So this stuff starts to arrive. You know these people are going to be your family. Mm-hmm. Did you know any English at this point?
No, not at all. Not a single word. I had an English class in third grade, but I wasn't really paying attention in it, so I barely know nothing. I don't even know ABC. I don't know. Yeah.
So what was it like the day that your family showed up? What happened? Take us through that day. The day you woke up, and this was the day that your family from America came.
They'll basically tell you ahead. Also on the other side, orphanage will make some videos like how I food in my bed, clean my bed, clean my dishes, or food in my bed, make a bunch of videos to show the opposite of. The opposite people, like how this kid's doing, so on and so forth. They send the pictures or candies and stuff like that. On the other side, they try to show our part how good this kid can be, something like that, you know. They will tell me ahead, like, you're going to be leave this day, something like that. They brought me to the airport. The orphanage brought me to the Hana airport to meet with my parents. That's when they get off the plane, before they go grab their luggage, that's where I stood, like, to meet with them, yeah.
And you were...
It was a little bit nervous, excited, wondering what kind of come to me, I guess, yeah.
So you were 14, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So you're standing there, and they get off the plane?
No, after when they go through the security area till they b- before they could get to their luggage, and there were a couple other people brought me to the airport just to meet with my parents.
So what happened? Did they hug you? Did you shake hands? Like, what happened?
Yeah, they hugged me. I don't speak English. I have nothing to say, except that there's a translator. Say a little bit, I don't know what it was. They had a translator brought with them too, so didn't say that much until, and then they just went, they hugged me and they said a little bit and say something I don't remember. And then they went to get their luggage.
And then what happened? Did they stay and go see the orphanage and all that?
After they got their luggage, we all got onto the vehicle, was heading to an office, taking pictures and signing paperwork. That's their part. The whole thing, I just went with them, went along, you know. I don't have to do nothing, just went along. And we hide into another city. That's Luoyang. We were in Zhengzhou, Zhengzhou airport. And after that, I just went along with them. They signed all kind of paperwork, take pictures, and head back to the city of Luoyang, and they signed more paperwork. Finally, got into the hotel. Yeah,
and
they ate lunch. And next couple days, basically. Signed more paperwork. It was a little bit frustrated they wanted to go to a shopping place. They want to go shopping. They're trying to tell me go shopping because they brought a small dictionary. I don't get it. Finally, they talked to the front desk, telling them, they want to go shopping. Well, at the shopping place, I finally found, usually when kids leave the orphanage, they'll bring back a bunch of, toys or other stuff for the orphanage kids or for the orphanage their favorite aunties, stuff like that. Yeah, so I did the same thing. I asked, finally, there's a guy who sees me when we were at a shopping place. But a guy sees me. I was struggling trying to communicate with this couple because I don't get what they're trying to tell me. The only thing what they have was a small dictionary with English and Chinese word in there. They talked to the hotel desk, the front desk. They want to go shopping, and they give them a direction. They give them a direction, and then we took a taxi to shopping. At the shopping place, that's what I was telling you, because every other kids did the same thing. It was bring some toys, candies, stuff like that, bring back to the orphanage or to their favorite aunties, stuff like that. So I did the same thing. Finally, there were a guy seeing me was struggling to communicate with this couple. This guy speaking English, so he walked up to me, said, "Oh, you need help," stuff like that. I said, "Yeah, can you tell them I want to bring some gift to the aunties?" And Yeah, so I brought some gift to the next day we, my parents and me went to the orphanage, basically to see the place where I lived and I see the people I seen. And that day, it was a hard day. I cried a lot. After that, we just like left that city the next day.
And you cried a lot because you were saying goodbye to people you'd been living with and friends?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
So tell me about your family. Do you have brothers and sisters, adoptive brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I got two sisters and one brother.
And what ages are they?
They are, right now they're pretty old. At the time, my brother probably 20s. I don't know his age. I haven't contact with him for years.
So they're older than you. You were the youngest?
No, my brother was the oldest. And then my two sisters was a little bit younger than me. Like they're probably 21, 20, 22, 23, something like that right now.
And are you in contact with them?
No.
How about with your parents?
I still talk to my dad. Their situation after I come here years later, there's a situation happened. But the only person I still contact nowadays is with my dad. We talk, like I text him almost every day, telling each other what's up, so on and so forth. But the rest of people, I don't talk to them no more. Yeah.
When did do you mind if I ask you when this situation happened?
Like 7 years ago.
So you were 17, about 17 when the situation happened.
17 and a half, yes.
So you would have been with them about 3.5 years.
Yes.
Can I ask you what happened, or is it something you'd rather not discuss?
This part I don't like, yeah. I don't feel like to discuss it. It's pointless.
It's pointless. It was, is it fair to say, though, that it resulted in a kind of break with between you and most of your adoptive family?
Yeah, pretty much like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like they're really nice, treat me like their own kids, stuff like that. But after a situation happened, it's like, yeah.
Can I ask about what it was like for you to live with them for that 3.5 years? Did they have the expectation, do you feel, that you were going to regard them and feel as if they were your parents and your sisters and brother were your sisters and brother? Did you feel like that their expectation was that that was supposed to happen pretty fast or pretty naturally?
I mean, it was a really happy family, and everything went really well. I did feel the love. Yeah, I did feel the love. Everything went really good, except after 3 years of struggling in English, wasn't so happy with them. It's like they weren't so happy with me because it's a lot of frustration between each side.
Okay, so it sounds like it was just a very difficult Is that fair to say, to try to, on both sides, to try to adjust and become close?
Yeah. It's like it started being far apart because my parents kind of always fighting. My parents are kind of always fighting because, they expect me, they expect me like keep up grades. But me on the other hand, they expected like basically they expect a lot, like keep up grades, do your homework, or even if you don't have a homework, like make you to like write an essay. If you like, every time I write an essay, it doesn't make sense, they'll try and correct me. And then they'll say, oh, you've been here 1.5 year, 2 years, 3 years. You should be able to figure out that this sentence is make sense. It was a tough time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then finally, one year that happened, and then they decide to like, by then I just enrolled in high school for about 3 months. The school counselor told us there's a job corps. So, sounds like a job corps is really nice. Like free everything, and training you a trade, and training you get your education. And later on, I went to job corps.
Was that something your parents supported, thought was a good idea?
Yeah. I couldn't live in the house no more. Plus, we just couldn't get along. They constantly fighting about me. It was tough.
So at 17 and a half, you moved out of their house, roughly?
Yeah.
And where did you go?
Job Corps.
Okay, so did you move away? Like, could you live it with the Job Corps people? I just don't know how it works.
Job Corps is like vocational educational training program. It's 100% free, funded by taxpayers. It's 123 Job Corps throughout the country. You go in, they give you it's all 100% funded by the taxpayer. There's dormitories, and you'll be able to live there and learn their education, everything there. Yeah. But you have to follow their rules, their regulations, stuff like that.
So how long were you in Job Corps?
The maximum of Job Corps, each student be able to serve for 2 years. And for special occasion, you'll be able to serve 2 years. Yeah, but for special occasions, you'll be able to serve two. Or if you go advanced programs, you'll be able to serve for another year. I was there for almost 3 years because the language barrier.
So you finished up Job Corps when you were about 21?
It's about like that. No, before 21, it's like half a year before 21.
And you've been working ever since and living on your own ever since?
No, I went to a program after Job Corps. It's like I still have, like, a GED test. At the moment, I still have a 2 test, almost so close to be able to pass it, but haven't not passed it. Plus, at the time, I need a place to stay. So I went Job Corps staff saying there's a AmeriCorps. So I went to AmeriCorps. AmeriCorps is a little bit different than Job Corps. Job Corps is an educational vocational training program. Mm-hmm. Basically, you go in. I just want to tell you a little bit about Job Corps, basically.
And I'm sorry.
You go in, you choose a trade, what kind of career you want. Stuff like a carpenter, bricklayer, construction, welding, forestry, all kind of stuff. Painting, all kind of stuff.
What did you choose? Carpenter?
Yeah.
That's an excellent profession.
What's that?
That's an excellent profession.
Yeah, I wasn't like it. I got the certification from a Job Corps. Right now, I'd be able to join the union if I want to, but I didn't learn that much, so I wasn't interested in it.
So you don't want to join the union and become like a licensed professional carpenter?
Yeah, I'd be able to, but I just have not do it yet.
Why?
Because it's hard to work. But I didn't know that. I don't know that much about carpenter. In Job Corps, they only teach us the hand tools, the power tools. But in the building section, I didn't know. Plus, at the moment, I couldn't even understand the bookwork. So I barely know anything about carpenter, honestly.
I understand. It sounds...
What's that?
It sounds like another situation where you feel like, to some extent, the language has held you back from getting a full grasp of the whole discipline.
Yeah.
So you went into AmeriCorps, and where are you living now? You live in Washington State still.
I'm living in Port Orchard, Washington.
Porter, Washington?
Port Orchard.
Oh, sorry. Port Orchard, Washington. Okay. Do you live alone or do you live with a friend?
I live with a roommate.
And I guess I kind of want to know what things are like now. What's your life like? How would you describe your life?
Right now?
Yeah.
I mean, I got a job, making money. I don't really, the job is cool, but I get a little bit frustrated with my job almost every day. But other than that, I don't do much. I drink a lot of beer, a lot of alcohol. And go work, come home, pay the bills. Not much.
What work are you doing?
It's like I'm working for this finisher company, and I met a friend from Job Corps, and after Job Corps, I went to AmeriCorps, blah 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 blah. And then finally, after I done with AmeriCorps, I called him and said, oh, I need a place to stay. He said, well, just come live with me. So I came, I from Denver, the AmeriCorps paid me the fly back here. Basically... I got a friend over here. I started living with him and his mother, little brother. We all live in the same apartment. Finally, he found a girlfriend. Oh, he asked me to apply for labor ready. trying to get me onto his job. At the moment, I kind of don't know that much about, like, I was a little bit scared about the real world. So suddenly, I'm going to go live on my own. I did save a little money, but wasn't enough, like, for me to be able to, I don't know how to apply for a job. I know how to apply for a job. I learned a lot from Job Corps, American life, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like a little bit scared. Finally, I live away from him. I asked my parents to find me a car. Finally, I found they say, oh, they have a car, but they make me pay for it. So I bought a car from them. It's a black hood. It's a silver car with a black hood. But they say, how much you want to pay for it? I said, $3,000. They say, oh, we got a car for $3,000. At the time, I don't know nothing about cars. I just know I want a car so I'd be able to get going to work. You know, and it's like, I pay them $3,000 for a car, and I barely know how to drive. I never drove before. When I in Job Corps, I got my driver license. After that, I have not drive for years. So once I got onto the road, I'm so scared. The first time I went to apply for the Carpenter Union program in Kent, Washington, Renton, Washington. My friend's mom had went with me because I just got a car, barely know how to drive. Pretty scared. Yeah, so my friend asked his mom to go with me to apply for the Carpenter Union. So hopefully I don't get a car crash or something like that.
So
yeah, I live with my friend, he left. He found a girlfriend. They got apartment stuff like that. I still living with his mom. And finally he got me the job. He asked me to apply for labor ready, and he told the manager he got a friend right now living in his house. He needs a job really bad. They jump in immediately, get me a bowling bag, security, stuff like that. Man, after working for labor ready about 3 months, finally, about 2 months, 2 to 3 months. At the moment, I really need money. I do whatever it takes to get money. The first couple months, they didn't ask me to pay that much bills, like a couple hundred dollars, stuff like that. Finally, it's like, he got me the job. I was working as a temp through temp agency. And immediately the factory noticed I have a language barrier. And the factory, they asked me, work the installers, all the back check stuff. Finally, I got have not got a job, but I worked for temp agency for the company for a long time.
And what's the name of the company?
Watson Furniture.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's okay.
That's the name of there. Mm-hmm. Can you see it?
Yes, I can see it. Watson. So you basically, you move, you do a lot of heavy labor. You move furniture. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you're in touch with your dad. Does your dad, what is your kind of feeling like with your dad now? Are you and your dad still able to get along and talk to each other? If only by text message?
Uh, Yeah, yes. We texted each other all the time. And, yeah, we don't calling, but we, yeah, it's like, yeah, that's not that much, no more. A couple years ago, I usually, once a couple months, I took him out for dinner, lunch, stuff like that. Now that's, we still contact each other, but other than that, he live really close to me, like a, his work is 30 minutes. I'd be able to drive there for so, like 30 minutes. But yeah, other than that, I'm not like a, we have not had a, like a lunch or dinner a year ago. Yeah.
Can I?
Like last year, July, that was the last lunch I had away from him. Since then, we haven't had it.
And that's about a year ago.
Yeah, but we do text each other or talk to each other. Yeah, say what's up, stuff like that. Not so much. He's going to retire. So he asked me to get on a health insurance with my company. I did. Yep.
So your dad, your parents still had you on their health insurance. And they were, and they did sell you this car. It sounds like they, am I wrong that they've been willing to help you out as you've gone along, even though you've kind of had a split in your relationship?
Not really. They have not helped me for years, honestly.
Okay.
When I in Job Corps, program, the foster program, and then they will ask extra students to help them fighting fires, wildland firefighter. I earned some money over there, and I saved bought a car. Yeah,
How do you feel about having been adopted by this family? When you look at this whole thing now, how does it feel to you? Tell me if I'm wrong. I imagine that day when they were coming to the orphanage and you were so excited that you had hopes that this was going to be finally a family and a life that would be forever.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of sounds like it hasn't quite turned out that way. And I just wonder what that's like for you.
Before I get jealous, other people have it, like I have family stuff like that. I don't. And I finally had it. Right now, I don't have it. It'll hurt a little bit, but life moves on, I guess.
And what about...
It does hurt. In some point. But the only thing is, like, right now, I grown up, I'd be able to take care of myself. From now point on through life, I guess... Whatever I want, I just need to go get it. There's no way around it. But yeah, I'm living kind of. Earlier, you asked me how I feel right now. It's like I feel, yeah, I got a job, got friends, got a car, got a lot. But a lot of times I feel lonely.
Do you have a?
I feel lonely all the time. It's like, if I'm not working, I'm gonna feel. Yeah, I feel lonely. It's the job isn't not good. It's a good job. I travel around all over the country. I travel for work. It's fun. Like the past week, I got about 66 hours. But yeah, that's other than that, I feel lonely.
You worked. So you worked 66. Yeah. You worked 66 hours last week.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't saying. Yeah, was one day me and my coworker pull a 20-hour shift because we're trying to get our job complete. It was like it was a Tuesday night. Tuesday. All was a miserable night for us, both of us.
Can I ask you? Well, I see actually you're drinking Mountain Dew, which is I'm sure that helps you wake up, right?
No, that actually is water. Water.
Oh, okay. It's in a Mountain Dew bottle.
Yeah, I just use a soda bottle, drink water.
Well, I'm really glad you're not drinking all that Mountain Dew. It's not good for you.
No, it's water.
So my last question is this. What do you hope for the future? Do you look ahead and think this is what I want my life to be like 5 years or 10 years from now? Or do you not do that and just kind of go day by day?
I kind of hope for more. But sounds like I'm talking to you, it's like a little bit different than I talk to other people. Nowadays, a lot of other people still saying, oh, you have a language barrier. I say, oh, sure.
And I'm just wondering how you think your adoptive family would feel if they listened to this. What do you think they would think?
You know, either on their part or on my part. Their part in the beginning, you know, when they first adopted me, they asked for a translator. They went around Seattle, tried looking for somebody to be able to translate some word for me. Finally, they found one. Basically, what they told me was, when they see this kid on the internet, the translator told them it's like, this kid is going to be 14 years old. And back then I was 13. And this kid is going to be 13 years old. After 14 years old, by the international law stuff like that, he couldn't be able to get adopted. So they just choose to adopt, to get me here, tell me growing up, and they let me to work on my own future. That's the word that they sent it to me even before like I came to America for 2 months. They tried to drive around in Seattle trying to find a translator who'd be able to telling their part or reason to me. I mean, they wanted to have a kid, making a better family, stuff like that. Me on the other hand, I want a family, stuff like that too. And it turned out it wasn't that good a picture. Every time, once a while, when I tell my dad something like good stuff, he's like, oh, how proud of you. He's still telling me he loves me, stuff like that. I'm sure they have feelings. Yeah.
Do you love them?
My mom don't contact with me no more. I stopped contact with my dad. Say love is like two parties never worked out each other. Plus, I came to America was 14 years old. You know, once a kid grow up, they say their own ways. They were good people, but I don't know. Life turned to this way, just. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff on my mind, you know?